Okay, so let's look at scripture together. I'm going to read from Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 14 and 17 to 24. Okay, so, and it's entitled in the Bible that I've got here, Daniel's Prayer. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah, the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. If I can just say the desolation of Jerusalem, that means the exile of all of the elite in Babylon was to last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us, because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord, our God, by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Then we move on to verse 17. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making my requests to the Lord, my God, for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you. For you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. There we go. One of the examples from the Old Testament where the angel Gabriel came and spoke to Daniel and said to Daniel, "You are most esteemed." And of course it was Gabriel who also came to Mary and said to Mary, "You are most highly esteemed amongst all women." So, there we have it. Just a few, a little bit of background to this passage. In particular, the life of Daniel. Daniel, actually, his ministry covered three different regimes. Of course, he was brought up in Israel, in Jerusalem, and so we have the beginning of his life with all of the riches and the privileges of life as a young nobleman in the Jewish nation. Then, of course, we have him serving serving the Babylonians as a politician. And then lastly, now we come to this time when the Babylonian kingdom was overtaken by the Persians. And so we have Daniel here as an elder statesman. The likelihood is he was in his 70s by this time. And of course, I've said in the first of the series that we did on Daniel, my understanding is that Daniel was probably a composite figure of various Jewish people who remained faithful to God during this exile in Babylon. So we have this long-term ministry that Daniel is presented as having had during his life. And of course, Daniel is known as a prophet, and we are looking at some of the prophetic words that Daniel gave in this reading that we've just read. Prophecy is an interesting thing, and we don't perhaps hear so much about it these days, or not in Britain anyway, but I wanted just to show you there we have a picture of ex-President Trump. This was, he is with a televangelist by the name of Paula White, and she led a televised prayer meeting. I think it was after the election campaign had finished, when they were waiting for the results to come in. And so this was while the results were being declared, and Paula White, during that evening, she declared that the Lord says, "It is done. For I hear victory, victory, victory." I'm not sure the Lord mentioned whose victory was going to be, but, you know, there we go. It has caused quite a consternation, actually, in some wings of the church in the United States that so many Christians were on board with Trump and his particular policies, and what damage that may have done to the Christian witness within the United States. There is a risk with prophecy, because it seems to me that the prophetic gift is so linked not only to hearing from God, but it can also be so linked to our own sense of who we are and our own character and personality and our own ego. And so sometimes there can be a prophetic word given that has such a mixture of human thought and belief as well as divine prophetic word. So I want to look this morning at what we can learn from Daniel's prophecy here in chapter 9 of Daniel's book. What can we learn from Daniel's prophecy? So firstly, I'd like to suggest to you that one of the things we can learn is the importance of relevance. The importance of relevance. That the prophetic gift is to not simply be spoken in a vacuum, but prophecy comes with a context. It is spoken into a context. A theologian from the 20th century by the name of Karl Barth, he was a Swiss theologian, and he said that when we pray, if we want to pray seriously, one of the two essentials for serious prayer, he said, were an open newspaper and an open Bible. He said, start with the first, start with the newspaper, and use the Bible to help to interpret what is going on in the world. And he said, one without the other meant that you couldn't be effective in prayer. Well, this issue of relevance, the importance of it. You see, Daniel prayed using his awareness of what was happening in the world. In verses 5 and 6 of the reading, he said, we have sinned. We as God's people, the Jews, we have sinned and done wrong. We've been wicked and have rebelled. We've turned away from your commandments and your laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in our name, who spoke in your name to our kings, princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Daniel was interpreting his time, recognizing that his people had moved away from listening to and obeying God. But Daniel also brought in his knowledge of what had been promised in God's word. And in verses 11 and 12, he says, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. There was the sense that because the people had moved away from obedience to him, to God, that actually they were reaping the fruits of their choices. Daniel believed from his knowledge of the book of Jeremiah, which he mentions in verse 2, that Jeremiah said, and we can read it in Jeremiah, that the exile would last 70 years. And so as that time was drawing close, that the 70 years were reached, close, soon to be reached in the next few years, as Daniel was writing, then Daniel was thinking about what would happen when the exile was over. Because Daniel realized that the true purpose of the suffering of the Jewish people in exile was to bring them back to God. So much of the way it had been presented was the Jewish people have been sinful and therefore they are being punished by God. But Daniel goes beyond that to see that it isn't about punishment so much as bringing the people, using this time of suffering to bring the people back to God in humility. As verse 13 says, just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. It was about turning them back to God. And I would say to you, in our lives, God does not bring punishment on us for our sins. God, I believe, uses the negative and the painful and difficult things that happen, will use them to help us to realize that we are utterly reliant on Him. I don't believe that God brings bad and evil, difficult things on us, but He will use them when they do happen to remind us of how much we need Him. So, as well as relevance, the importance of relevance in understanding prophecy, what else can we learn from Daniel's prophecy here? We can learn the importance of repentance. The importance of repentance. Daniel says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God. You see, Daniel here was a young man when he was taken into exile. And so he can hardly have been responsible himself for the sin that caused the nation's downfall. But Daniel here is identifying himself with the people, and he's owning the corporate sin of the Jewish people. He's recognizing that he is a part of that and perhaps benefited from that sin. He would have been a rich man in Jerusalem in his youth. And in a similar way today, it isn't enough for us to condemn the sins of our society and of our world. The reality is we share in those sins. And we've often benefited from them, as Daniel did in his youth. And so it's right for us, when we identify the sins in our world, to repent personally. And to identify with those sins and to actively seek justice and reparation for those sins in our world. So the importance of relevance and the importance of repentance. What else can we learn from Daniel's prophecy here? Well, we can learn about the promise of reassurance. The promise of reassurance. In verses 18 and 19, we read that God forgives not because of what we have done, but because of who He is. Not because of what we have done, but because of who He is. In verse 18, Daniel says, "Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for your sake, O my God. Do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." So we come to God without any right to expect forgiveness, but rather because of God's great mercy, He offers us His grace and His mercy. And in verse 23, we have this reassurance that a sincere prayer for forgiveness is always answered. It's always answered. Verse 23 says, as soon as you began to pray, this is the angel Gabriel saying this, as soon as you, Daniel, began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you. for you are highly esteemed. As soon as we come to the Lord asking for his forgiveness, it is given. If our hearts are sincere in asking, it is given. What else can we learn from Daniel's prophecy here? Well, we have the promise of revelation. The promise of revelation. The promise of revealed truth. Jerusalem would be rebuilt. Jerusalem would be rebuilt. But the danger for the Jewish people was that they would focus on the externals, on the bricks and the mortar. And isn't that so much true for us as well? That so much, so often we want to focus. When we've had tough times, we want to see the concrete things put back together again. But God is saying, spiritually, there was going to be a much greater event, a vastly more important thing, an event, than the bricks and mortar of Jerusalem and the temple being rebuilt. A far more important thing was promised in God's word. And that promise is in verse 24, and it would deal with human sin once and for all. Verse 24, which says, 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, those are hard words to understand, but it's basically saying God is promising that human sin will be dealt with because a Savior is coming. A Savior is coming. Now then, this idea of revelation often needs some interpretation. And so we find that in verses 24 to 27, those words are hard to understand, and many interpretations have been suggested of those words. Many interpretations have been given. But a bit like I said to you when we were looking at the book of Revelation, I think it was November of last year, when we try to interpret these prophetic words, we have to be careful. The original readers of this book of Daniel would have read the times and the numbers given as symbolic. They would have seen them as symbolic rather than wanting to interpret everything in a literal way. And in particular, the number seven symbolized divine perfection and completeness. Divine perfection and completeness. Verse 25 may refer to the period between the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the start of Jesus' ministry. It talks about 77s in the reading. It talks about 77s, and 77s actually represent 490 years, almost five centuries. And so you have two references there to 77s and 62 sevens. And if you add the two together, you reach this figure that is almost five centuries. And of course, five centuries on from the point where Daniel is writing takes us into the ministry of Jesus. And of course, verse 26 may actually point to the suffering and death of Jesus, where it says, after the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So it seems there that it may be a reference to the suffering and death of Jesus. But I'm not even going to read to you verse 27, because quite honestly, it is so difficult to work out what the prophet was saying in that verse. But really, the message of the heart of the book of Daniel is that nothing will stop God working out his plan for salvation despite all opposition. Nothing will stop God working out his plan for salvation despite all opposition. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you and thank you for the fact that your word has different things to say to us in different ways. Some of it is simple enough to understand in some ways. Others of it seems to be clouded in mystery. Lord, we pray that you will give us insight to understand how we can apply your word to our own lives and to our context and our situation in the 21st century. Lord God, we thank you that your word promises you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust that your character, who you are, the promises that you made are promises that still stand. You are a faithful God. And we therefore stand in the knowledge that you, Lord, still love us as you have loved humanity from the very beginning. Lord God, we seek your wisdom, how to be people that stand in your truth in the complexities of our world today. Lead us, Lord. Show us. Help us to have courage, but also sensitivity to your leading. We pray all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.